Good afternoon, First Baptist. It's good to welcome you into this worship service here from First Baptist and at your house, wherever you may be visiting today. I pray that you would be enjoying this message. I hope it would be encouraging to you. R.G. Lee, an Old Baptist preacher, said one time, and I just never forgot this because it meant a lot to me at that time, and still does. He said he's never been in a spot in his life that a good sermon wouldn't pull him out. And I've been needing some good sermons. I'm trying to find one today. So I pray this will be a good sermon to help us and to find the joy of the Lord in our lives. I've been blessed on Saturday. I went over to the VFW Golf Scramble. Brian is a member of our church here that invited me over to be the chaplain to pray. Met a couple generals. Met a couple of colonels and a lot of artillery over there this morning at that scramble. And we were just talking for just a few moments. And here's what they talk about. How divided the United States Army is. The mess they're in politically and socially and medically. What that is doing to them. It's doing it to all of us. There is a division. There is fear. There is politics. There are just so many things that we have, so many headwinds into our lives right now for all of us in any walk of life. And so I want to help us today with a message to how to combat that and do it right. You know, because somebody doesn't think like me, or they don't do what I think they need to do in my life, the whole quest of love is, if we just love people on performance, we haven't loved at all. You know, if you just love me because, and I just love you because we think alike, we don't love each other, we just love our thinking. And so the stress here, as we deal with this, is to love one another, to be effectively, when we totally disagree about issues of life that in a year from now won't matter and get divided over it, is foolish. It's how the devil works. I do believe in the middle of the pandemic we're in, I've always said this in my life, my problem is never the problem. My problem is how I deal with this thing. And we're not dealing with this very well because we don't know how, because we're afraid, and just issues have come up. But today's message is getting dark. And so I want to help us to understand the darkness to somewhat. It's always been dark in the kingdom, back and forth, and all the things that are going on. But the objective is to help us to find out how to turn the light on, how to bring light into our darkness in the way that we live in our lives. Have you thought about how dark it is socially today in our country and spiritually? And it's really getting darker. You know, this is a time of year when we lose a minute and a half every day, we lose an hour of light. It just keeps getting darker and darker. And you'll be in January and December at 4:30. It's going to be really dark. I love it when we have full bloom, full light. God loves it when we live in full light, spiritually. But many times in our life, we're like kind of the seasons. We go through darkness. And a minute and a half longer every day, we're getting darker. And with all that the headwinds that we are facing today in our lives, the social agenda, how people are treating each other in this is difficult. There's great divisions. In the medical world, there is just great battles on how we're going to come through this. And one science will say this, and one science will say that. And there's just so much going on that goes around. And then the politics of it always is ugly. Politics always gets in the mud one way or another. And so we face that. Hope you enjoyed the message this morning I shared about talking about politics and religion. Not many preachers will talk about that. But today was a positive message for you on that subject. But I pray tonight, as we look at getting dark, to turn the lights on and how to help us. You know, I remember several years ago when I first came to Kentucky, it's been a long time, I went to Mammoth Cave. And if you ever go to Mammoth Cave, it's a great experience, it really is. But my experience, I never forgot. They put us down in that cave, and we walked down to the bottom of that, and they turned all the lights off. Man, was that dark. It was so dark, I could feel it. I mean, it was an eerie feeling. I've never been in anything so dark and quiet and in a cave. And so they gradually begin to turn the light on. And man, it just, I relaxed. As soon as that light came back on, I felt more comfortable. Well, darkness is, in the world we live in today, when it gets so dark, I believe you can feel it. I believe I can feel the darkness today that we live in and all that goes on to our lives. So today's message that I want to deal with, I want to point out how dark it is. I want us to talk about some things like that. I want to share with you that Jesus says he is the light of the world. And then I want to share with you how to find a light switch, how to turn the light back on. And so how dark is it? In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, I want to share with you how dark it is. And in Isaiah, he's the preacher of the hour. He preaches unto the nation. Let me tell you about these prophets in the Old Testament. These guys are every one of my heroes. They preached and preached and preached with very little results. I mean, the nation of Israel was, they lived in darkness for so many years of their lives. So God sent preachers in there to turn the lights back on. Many of them didn't listen. They didn't pay any attention to the word of God, to the preachers of the hour. Jeremiah is my greatest hero in that subject matter because as we see in Isaiah, he did have some high waters and some times happened, but in Jeremiah, never recorded one convert in all of his ministry. Never seen the evidence of fruit, but he continued to do it. He said God called him when he was still in his mother's womb. He said he knew he was a preacher. It was probably the highest call in the world, but really the worst occupation in those days. Now, in Isaiah, the preacher, in chapter 5, the parable of the vineyard is, it's a beautiful, beautiful story about the vineyard of God and the fruit that he produces in our life and how to yield and all that. But then he goes over to verse 18. He says, "Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and the sins of the vanity. They say that they love, they say that may speed up, hasten his work, that we may see it. And yet your counsel, the Holy One of Israel, may know it." And then it says in verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Now, I'm telling you, it's dark. Today, we don't know what is evil or good. I'm going to draw a couple of analogies of that in a few moments. But we have taken good, and we've changed it around. We've taken evil. And Jeremiah said in his day, we put darkness for light and light for darkness. We put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We have literally turned around God's plan. And what God says is good, we as a nation of Israel and America, what he said was good, sometimes we say it's bad. All too often. When it comes to our social life, man, how we get so upside down in this. But when we call evil good and good evil. And so that's how come we can get darkness. That's how darkness confuses people. And let me share you with them. When we're living in a dark environment, confusion, chaos runs the day. It's anarchy. We see today in America the crisis in our cities and the prejudice and the fighting and the battles over the police officers and defunding them and taking away their authority and the anarchy. I do understand this. If you watch the news media, and I'm trying very hard not to even watch it at all, because the news media, when they get done going through a city, maybe Chicago, New York, they make you think all of America's burning. They make you think that we're all dark, that the whole world is coming to a halt. Well, there's a lot of light in America. But let me tell you something. Good is become evil, and evil has become good all too often across America. So the darkness, they want to invoke it into our life. Like, this is the best way. This is the right way. When we've been mistreated, we can burn it down. We can take our rights, and we can call ourselves rights in a lot of areas. But God says what is right, and God says what is wrong. And I argue with him all the time about that. Sometimes I don't think that a whole chocolate cake is all that bad at one time. Sometimes when I'm really in a mindset, man, I can convince myself that that ain't bad. You know, that ain't bad, but it is bad. What I eat has a lot to do with who I am. So see, we can do that. We can pervert it all so easy. As a matter of fact, what you just call it is sin. And we as Americans don't call sin sin very easily today in America because it seems to be not politically correct. And so I want to help us today too. In the confusion that we live in today, and maybe the fear that we live in today, and the quagmire, almost feel like David there in Psalm chapter 40, he's in the mud, he's stuck. I believe we as a world today seems to be stuck. We just can't get out of it. And the harder you try in quicksand to get out, the quicker you sink. And until we find the light, until we find the way out of this thing, and I take contention to this, America today, full bloom, is asking the scientists to find a vaccine, asking the medical world to fix this. We have forgot to ask God. We don't ever hear that in the news. We never hear that in the media. Who is going to do this? God himself. He's the only one that can heal me. He's the only one that can bring a vaccine to a virus. And thank God for science and medical. But let's give God the glory. Let's get man out of this picture to that part. See, we are trying to do everything in America without God. You know, there's a big battle about taking God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. I just heard that the other day. And it's a sad commentary, but it's happening. We're trying to remove God because the darkness seems to be winning right now. But I want to encourage you that we need to be people of light and bring light to a dark situation. I'm excited about this. This is what I'm excited about. I'm going to read in a few moments, Jesus, the light of the world. And there's no darkness, even in Mammoth Cave, that can outdo light. As soon as you turn it on, the darkness leaves. Never forget that. I don't care how dark it is in your life. I don't care how lonely you are, how depressed you are, how scared you are. The light of God's love and word will bring light into that darkness, and that chaos will begin to become sure-footed again. And so we strive for that. We call evil good and good evil. People can't see what is right and wrong today. Let me just take you just a couple quick illustrations. Fornication, sex outside of marriage, single people. It is a norm today. You know, the Bible says fornication is the only sin that damns our body. You know, where did all the evil comes and when we break God's law? But see, somehow or another, boys and girls and men and women today just think it's a normal thing to live together. It's not that bad. Well, let me share with you. It is bad. God says it's bad. In the top 10, thou shalt not commit adultery. The sexual immorality is paraded around us today. I mean, in our capital, they will march for gay rights and by the thousands and thousands celebrate gay rights. Immorality open. And I just want you to know that we today can call that right and not even feel bad about it. Wrong is still wrong. Sexual permissiveness out of God's plan was perverted. It's crude. It destroys. How many babies in our world, across the world that we live in today, are paying the price for immorality? A mama that wouldn't keep them. A dad that wouldn't stay at home because of the price of all the sexual revolution that goes on to our lives. See, sometimes that's in the top 10. I want you to understand, God really reveres right. He blesses right. He helps us. Abortion. I mentioned earlier, Jeremiah says that he was called when he was still in his mother's womb. Just think about that. I can't get ahead around this. The safest place in the world should be the womb of a mother for a baby. But today it's called good. You have a right to decide to take that baby, that creation of God. If there's one thing America fights over more than anything of all of us across this land divided, it's over abortion. I mean, the politics in this is terrible. And I just want to share with you, we got to love our children. And the way you love your children is you raise children. You don't finance them. You spend time with them. I mean, it's getting dark. And our children always pay the price for that. I'm blessed with two wonderful grandchildren. I have a little boy from Russia named Dimitri. I have a little girl from China. Tanya and Ronnie couldn't have children, so they traveled around the world finding them children. But you know where we found those children? In orphanages. In Russia, in my times of doing work there, there's 720,000 children live in orphanages in Russia. 720,000. There's no nursing homes in Russia. It's all orphanages. People die early there. But all of these children are paying for what? Sexual immorality. And then Jennifer was found under a bridge out in the backsides of China, a little wooden bridge. Somebody found her. It was 2 days old. And somebody had sense that she lived into an orphanage. Never been outside of an orphanage. There's hundreds of thousands and millions of children that are suffering because of sexual immorality today. And I just want you to know that's wrong. Who says what? Sex outside of marriage is wrong. When we think about all that happens in our lives, hatred. You know, Jesus says, you hate somebody, you murdered them, just like same as killing. If this pandemic and all this thing happens, there's people lining up on both sides of this for a lot of reasons, for a lot of stuff. But the hate is getting big. The hate is getting where I've never seen it in America. I've seen this civil unrest before in America because of the African Americans and the other other nations of people that have been overrun or abused and not properly treated. But you know, in about 2 weeks, it goes away. We find some stability, we give in, and we make some adjustments. This isn't going away. This isn't going away. It's right with us. So the hatred is growing today in America. Christians, if you go to church and you begin to dislike somebody because of the way they think, shame on us. They're our brothers and sisters. We don't throw people away. We don't hate them. But let me tell you something. When it gets dark, it's real easy to do. When it gets dark, it becomes normal. When it becomes dark, you are so wrong and I am so right, and we just despise each other. How can we come to worship a God who died for us and be so hurtful and hateful towards one another? We must be careful. It's getting dark. The prejudices are real. It's phenomenal. The mistreatment of people because of color, because of who we are and what we are in our lives. Man, we got to understand how wrong that is, how hateful that is to abuse people all so easily. How about lying? It's in the top 10. You ever think about that? The Bible says to commit one of these sins in the commandments of God is to commit all of it. You know how bad lying is? And today lying is just little white lies. It ain't that bad. And so we have now taken all of the good things that God has said in the commandments that are good, and now we have darkened them up or completely threw them away. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to become ugly in all the things that happen. Now, let me just step on a few toes right here. I don't want to, let me just say this. I left church, I remember years ago when I was pastoring, and she says, well, Brother Ron, you stepped all over my toes today. And I told her, and I wish I wouldn't have told her that. And I said, I miss, I shoot for your heart. So I want to shoot for your heart right now, right up front, okay? Let me tell you something. You know how important worship is to God? It's in the top 10. It's in the top 10. As a matter of fact, there's 96 verses in that commandment. 96 words in that commandment. Because, see, we are to love him. There's no other God but him. And then so the first four commandments is all about him and to love him. You know how important it is to worship God? We must worship God. It is a commandment. You know, if you commit adultery, you know it's wrong. But sometimes we can just come out of church because we're scared or we're this or we're that. Ladies and gentlemen, worshiping God is the top 10 commandments. And don't make that right because of anything. That's how good the devil is. worshiping him, honoring his Lord's day. Give him glory, give him honor on his day. See how we've taken everything that God said is so right and holy, and we've just made it politically incorrect. What's wrong with you, preacher? We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Don't you know we're in the middle of a pandemic? I've heard it 1,000 times, heard it 1,000,000 times. I understand. But I still understand the principles of God, and we need to do everything we can to adhere to them and to honor them. And I don't believe God give us the commandment that says, well, you can lie every once in a while. You can skip church every once in a while. God says that's his day. Remember that. But today is probably the most abused commandment of all, is worship commandment. 85% of our communities in Kentucky don't go to church any given Sunday. That is alarming. You know why? It's okay. It's no big deal. I've been hurt. I'm not going back. I don't like it. Don't like the preacher. Don't like the music. Don't like them people. Let me tell you something. If you go for the preacher and the music people, you've really messed it up. You need to go to love the Lord. And the only way you can really love the Lord is not hating your brother sitting on that side of church. That does help a lot. But see how when we start turning chaotic, see how it gets chaotic? We just stay in a mess. And then everything that was wrong becomes right. And everything right becomes wrong. Today in America, we as Christians, when we stand up for our rights, we are bullied. We've never been bullied like this before in America. I preached a few weeks how we changed the definition of the word tolerance. Tolerance was when we could be friends and we could, you would tolerate me and I'd love you how I thought, and we could think so many different ways, but see, we loved each other. But today, tolerance is you not only have to believe what I believe, you got to believe everything I believe, or I don't even like you no more. Doesn't work very well. It's getting dark. It's getting dark. It's getting ugly. And we just need to find a way. Let me just hit another one real quick. You know, gambling today in America, state of Kentucky, around the world. Let me tell you something. Gambling is as addictive as crack cocaine. Why in the world would you have to roll the dice when you've got a God who promised to provide for you, to bless you, and to take all things in your life and prosper you? Why would you trust gambling more than the principles of the blessings of God? No one can bless you like Jesus. I tell you this, for you to win the lottery is the biggest loss in your life. Study the lottery winners across America, and I will tell you that 85-90% of those lives ended up in divorce and loss and hatred over money. Money is so hard to handle. We just think if we had it, why roll the dice when you got a cross in your life? Why roll the dice and gamble on the money? See, God gave us the money we have. We've been provided for it. And he doesn't want us to waste it. We tithe 10%, and you should do that. But he's interested in the 90%, how you deal with it. Man, gambling today is just, okay, you know what? We're helping pay for the schools. I mean, we're putting money in the pot over there, so it's okay. Somebody's got to win. Might as well be you. Don't do that. See, that's really dark in the kingdom of God. Churches need to live on tithes and offerings of children who love Christ plus nothing. I don't want the government giving this place a dime. I don't want the government telling me how to operate. I want to be free from that so I can worship Jesus and then honor my government and the authority over us. But they don't need to control us. And we just need to realize that. Tithes and offerings and children makes it right. Well, I know that, and I have some statistics here. Let me tell you the number one thing we've called all right too easily is pornography. Pornography, check your internet. The greatest hit on the internet is pornography. The greatest destruction for babies and children is pornography. 92% of all serial killers and rapists started on pornography. And today, I remember growing up, if somebody had a Playboy in the journey of our friends, man, we were the most bad people in the world. have a Playboy today. It's in your palm of your hands. You're 12. You know who the most used pornography day in America? Between the age of 12 and 21. Now that's scary. Pornography is now okay. It's just okay. Let me tell you something. See why it's getting dark? See why chaos is coming? See, we think we can sin and God just somehow or another going to bring his blessings and make everything okay. Ladies and gentlemen, ready or not, Jesus says, here I come. So I just want to take a few moments and talk about that and how it works in our lives. Now I want to get to a part that will help us to turn it around. I hope you understand a little bit about darkness now. I believe you agree to that. But it's sure hard to do when you live in it. Because darkness brings chaos all to our lives. Let us see what Jesus does. Let me help you get there. You ready to turn a corner here? Let me just ask you a question right there where you are. I don't care if you say it out loud, but if you agree with what I've said, how dark it is, you say amen. You say amen. It is dark. Very dark. Very chaotic. Very confusing. How in the world can a pandemic touch a whole world? How can a virus destroy a world? It's dark, and I want to help you. In John chapter 8, let's turn some lights on. Let's see what Jesus says. In verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them saying again, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I am. I like that. The great I am. I am the light of the world. Let me tell you something. Sin is dark and ugly. I'll tell you how dark sin is. When Jesus on the cross bore our sins, his father couldn't even look at it. It became darkened. That's how dark it was. It's painful. But boy, the light is hope. The light is strength. The light is love. The light is forgiveness. Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. When you follow Jesus, his light. You know what his light does? His light shines on our darkness and illuminates our darkness, and we move to the light. See, light removes darkness. And so when you come to church and you worship and you have devotion, you have a prayer meeting and you're discipled, the light of the world in that devotion and that worship, that's the reason why I'm concerned about churches in America today, because the light's not been on in the house. And I am not really concerned, and I'm not really sure it's at your house unless you come to this house. All too often that happens. And so it keeps getting darker and darker and more confused. And all of a sudden things begin to be right. Let me share this with you. There's times in your life, and you keep messing around as a Christian, there'll be times in your life that you will be doing what you condemned most of your life. And see it now is okay. See, Jesus said, I'm going to bring light, and I'm going to reveal the darkness in your life, and I'm going to illuminate it. I want it to go away. So he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. How bright is your light today? Remember the old song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Satan, blow it out. No. Satan, blow it out. No. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel basket? No, I'm going to let it shine. Christian, you're either a 5-watt dim bulb and casting off shadows and confusing people, or you're about a 60-watt soft white and bringing people together, bringing love together. Now, we have a problem here, and let me show you the problem in verse 13. Disciples therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. The Pharisees, the Jews, the religious people, you know what they said? You're a liar. That's not true. And let me share this with you. There's only one light in this whole world is Jesus Christ plus nothing. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what religion you're in. Man, there's nothing but darkness. You know, I have visited, in the world I lived in, I visited a lot of tombs. And you go to these great religious leaders, and you know what you do? You visit their tomb. I went to Israel, and you know what I did? I went to visit the tomb like Jesus was in. But you know what I found? It was empty. He rose from the dead. That's light. You may say it's a lie. You may say it's not true. But man, you cannot contradict that. He is life. He is light. He shines on my darkness. He helps me see my way through it. He forgives me. I help to love people. I can forgive people. I can worship. I'm not afraid. I will do my will, God's will in my life. I will have the faith and the guts to do what the world is afraid to do today because of his light. And let me share this with you. If you think the Pharisees should look Jesus in the eye and call him a liar, how much the best of your friends can call you a liar when you start turning your light on? It goes in the territory. The reason why Jesus says, deny yourself and take up a cross and follow me, because when you take up your cross in a dark world, you will be challenged. You'll be bullied. You'll be persecuted. Jesus says, they hated me, but they're going to hate you more. How in the world could that be? You see it today. So the light comes in our life. It takes the darkness out. If we just follow the will of Christ and truth comes to our life, stay in the darkness and drugs and sex and witchcraft and pornography is a way of your life. The Pharisees could not believe Jesus. Don't you know that if we live in darkness, we'll never have the fullness of our life? We say his flesh is, the Bible says, if you walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me share this with you. The greatest thing I can tell you when Jesus saved me, I was just 7 years old. I thank God he saved me when I was 7 years old. I'd be afraid of Jesus. I'd be afraid of me at 18 years old without Jesus. I know me. He saved me as a young man. But when Jesus saved me, he saved me from me. Let me say it again. He saved me from me. Because, see, he keeps light coming to my darkness. And I got a lot in it. You got a lot in it. He keeps turning the light on. When I pray, when I study, when I witness, when I love, when I forgive, when I worship, the light comes on in my life and it helps me to deal with my darkness. I tell people all the time, I'm just amazed how much God, he knows everything about me, and nobody in the world knows everything about me. I make that a point, and so do you. But he knows everything, and he still loves us. That's light. That's love. That's the end of chaos. That's amazing grace. I preached a funeral this week, and it was a difficult funeral for me. I have preached more funerals. I was riding down the road yesterday afternoon. I said, honey, I think I'm going to make it a week without a funeral. And I put my phone down. And as I put it down, it started ringing. I got a funeral next Saturday. Funerals are tough. I become involved in their lives. I try to bring light to their darkness. But I preached a funeral last week to a very dark man. He hurt a lot of people. He hurt a lot of people. My God's grace is so good. He gave his heart to Jesus before he died. And I know that funeral that I was preaching, there was a lot of people in that room that were hurt by this guy. Talk about the love and the light of Christ in his life in his last days. Isn't God good? He can forgive us. And I just want to say, I want to begin this funeral saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. If it wasn't for grace, I couldn't have anything to say today about this young man, about this man. But I can tell you the good things of what he did at the end of his life. I just want you to know you need to be walking in the light as he is in the light. And don't let your lust trick you and lie to you. And know the devil promise you switch and bait, promise you everything and give you hell. That's what happens. So we need to not be blinded. We need to be able to see. We need to get there. Now, okay, so do you understand how dark it is? I don't want to overdo it, but I sure don't want to underdo it. It's pretty dark. Pretty dark in America. It's pretty dark when our Supreme Court, the true north of our morals and values of laws, it says right over top of it, in every courthouse in God we trust, decides that marriage is between a man and a woman, and decides a woman has rights to kill her baby. Let me tell you something. When the Supreme Court in our land loses its true north, it's dark. And this is a dark day. I'm going to preach a little bit about that in the days. I want to tell you something. some of the biggest suffering America's ever had, I'm going to preach in about 2 weeks, is because of a Supreme Court rule years ago, and 600,000 people died because of their ruling. 600,000 people died. It's called a civil war. Because the Supreme Court years earlier had a right to make that right, but they decided not to do that. And the black man did not have alien rights as anybody else. They made that decision and followed that was the Supreme Court. So don't ever think the true North is in those men and women at the court. The true North is in the God of that Supreme Court. And today, God's been outvoted several times. And America finds that darkness. So I want to tell you how to turn the light on. I want to tell you where the light. I come in this auditorium, and we're having a wonderful time on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. We're having a time to get together. We're trying to connect for the comeback. And I'd like to see you come. But I walked in here last Thursday night, and the lights weren't on in that auditorium. And man, I looked on every wall in that whole place. I couldn't find them. Where in the world did they hide the light switch? Who built this church? Hit the light switch. I'm walking around. Where in the world's the lights? John Mark walked up to me and said, "It's over here, preacher. You got to go through this door. You got to look at that wall. And there's the lights." And as soon as I found the light switch, you know what I did? We had light. I relaxed. The lights were on. I won't tell you where the switch is today. I want to tell you how to turn it on if you're tired of darkness. If you're not tired, you're going to be more than tired. You're going to be shameful. You're going to be broken. You're going to be depressed. You're going to try to find every medicine and every drug in the world to get high to escape your pain. I'm going to just ask you to simplify that, and let's just turn the light on. In 1 John, let me tell you where the light switch is. There is no better light switch in the scriptures when it comes to finding the light of the world is in the book of 1 John. And I just want to help you to see this. I want you to study that book. I want you to look at that. It's just a real simple book. It's not real simple, but it's real short. Study it. Find the truth and the meanings in it. How to turn the lights on. In John 1, that there was from the beginning which we have heard, which you have had seen with your own eyes, which you have looked upon with our hands and handled concerning the word of life. These disciples, they seen it, they heard it, they experienced it. This is the real deal. Let me tell you something. You know one thing that, you ever had that big question if all this is true about this God stuff? I do. There's been times in my life I can endure it. How do we know for sure? Let me tell you how I know for sure. Because see those little disciples of Jesus, they were kind of ornery. Fishermen, they were just a ragtag group. And there at the crucifixion, old Peter cutting off a man's ear, doing a little cussing. How in the world, 3 years, and these guys still haven't got it together yet? And on Easter Sunday, they didn't even show up for the service. So how in the world do I know it's real? You know how I know it's real? Those guys knew him. Those guys saw him. Those guys was at the resurrection. Those guys are 12 testimonies. We seen it. We felt it. And he is real. It's the real deal. I was there. They are on the jury of life. And they said, "I'll die for him." And they did. That's how real he was. Have you suffered any for him lately? You know, I read about all of our heroes in the medical world and our first responders. But I'm looking for heroes in God's kingdom. I'm looking for men and women that will stand up and turn the light on of this hatred and fighting and bickering to love one another. We need, these men says, this Jesus is the real deal. The life was manifested that we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We got it, man. We got eternal life. Saved forever. Let me share this with you. I believe in eternal life. I believe in eternal security. I believe if you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you can't unsave it. I believe you can abuse it. I believe you can reject it. I believe discipline comes. I believe God will correct that in your life one way or another. But let me tell you something. You can't get unborn. You're born again. And if you're a Christian who thinks that you can sin your way out of salvation, you need to ask if you've really been born again. Because the amazing grace of Christ that saved me lasts forever. Let me ask you something, daddies and moms. Would you ever throw away your children for what they did wrong? I've been to prison ministries and I watch those mamas stand outside and cry and cry and visit those sons who are in the rest of their life in prison. They wouldn't throw them away. And if mama wouldn't go throw and daddy wouldn't throw away their sins, their children, when they sin, why would God throw us away when we've been his child? How could he throw us away? We're born in his kingdom. We're his children. We're the light of the world. The disciple says, we've been there. We've got it. We've seen it. It's genuine and it's eternal. It's going to last forever. And if you're concerned about your eternal life, you need to get that straightened out, because that'll bring darkness all too easy in your life. I talked to people one time. He says, well, I'll tell you what, preacher, I don't believe like that, but I'm going to live my life to the very end. And if I live it good to the end, I'm going to heaven. I says, well, brother, you can mess it up in the end. If you're saved, you're going to go to heaven if you like it or not. Because God paid for it. It's done deal. So he said, we've been there. We saw it. He says, and these things would you write to you that your joy may be full. Oh man, turn lights on. It makes you happy. It gives you the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we connect joy and happiness all too often, and it's really more than that. Joy isn't nothing to do with happiness. Joy is God's Spirit in us. But he said, I will make it full. This is the message you have heard from him and we declare to you, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Total light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with God and you walk in the darkness that I've been talking about, you're stuck on a lottery. You're stuck on pornography. If you're stuck on the evil of all the world and lying and all the deceit and call it good today or bad, let me just say this. If you say that you have fellowship with God and live in that darkness, and darkness is the way of your life, and do not practice truth, you lie to yourself. I had this conversation yesterday with one of my best friends. He's wrestling with the situation in his life. He called me, and I kind of get in there and wrestle with him. I said, let me tell you what your problem is. You're a good guy. You love the Lord as much as I've ever known, but you got a problem. Here's your problem. You lie to yourself. You're trying to justify what God is not justifying in your life, and you're mad at God because you keep lying to yourself because you don't want to feel guilty in what you want to do. You don't want to feel all the burden, so you want to lie to yourself. But God won't let you do it. Wrestle with it. It's called rationalize. Say it slow. Rationalize. We lie. My biggest problem is not lying to you. It's lying to me. You say the light's in us, love's in us, but we live in darkness and love darkness. He says you lie. You can't do that. You can't play out in the world all your life. You know what? If your boy was 7 years old and got saved in church and he died 77 as a drunk and never went back to church, I'll tell you what happened. He never got saved at seven. God will chase him, rebuke, scourge. You bring him back into fellowship. So it's just because they got baptized and joined the church at 20 or 30 and lived their life in hell all their life and they never came back to the kingdom of God. Let me share this with you. You didn't pray for God to bring him back. You need to pray for God to save him. You can't live all your life in hell like that and be one of his. Ask Moses. He didn't get to go to the promised land. He took him home because of his wrongdoing. Got mad and slapped a rock and cursed a few people. Comes a time God says, that doesn't happen no more. This is the message you've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and him is no darkness. If you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, so do not practice truth. But if you walk in the light as he's in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all evil. Now, in the middle of all the division, middle of all the politics, middle of all the fear, where is your fellowship? Let me give you just a quick definition of fellowship. You won't forget it. It's just two fellows in a ship, and you're there together. How are you fellowshiping? Who are you mad at? Who are you upset with? Who are you disappointed with? Who do you feel that's not doing it right? Can we love? Can we pray for them? Can we be nice to them? Because that's what light does. It brings us back to fellowship with one another. It helps us to say, you know, 5 years from now or 2 years from now, it doesn't make any difference what we thought about this. But if you hate each other today And 5 years ago, it may make a difference. Because it takes a lot of restoration to restore hatred in people's lives. How many people you know at church that used to come sit on a pew and love each other and now can't even see each other at Walmart? They can see them on an aisle and move to the next aisle. How'd that happen? How'd that get that way? Hatred is running loose in America today. We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Well, there's a light switch, the love of Jesus. Just stop where you are as we end the service today. And say, God, bring the light back to me. Let me worship. Let me have a devotion. Let me walk with you. Let me forgive that person that hurt me this week. Let me have the light that's in my life to restore one another. It's a dark world today. It's so dark. Until we find that light switch, we're going to live in it. And we pay a lot for that. So let me encourage you. Don't love people because they think like you. You love people because they're people. And you love people because God chose to love us and we just pass it on. And if you're not feeling his love, you can't give it out until you got it. You can't pass it on until you're full of it. And may the light come on in the darkness that's in our world. May we as the Christians remember we're the light and there's none other but us. Let's turn it on. I got a couple of Christian friends and they kind of bother me. They're always 100 watt spotlight. Every time I see them, man, they give me all this church stuff and God stuff. They just blow me away. Make me feel unsaved. I mean, they just turn people off. And then I know a lot of Christians is about 10 watt. And all it does is throw shadows and confusion. Let me encourage you to be about a 60 watt soft white bulb. So God can use you to change the world. And let's just turn it on. In the name of Jesus, flip the switch, call his name, ask him to help you. It'll change your life. Let us pray. Father, we need you. There's never been a day that we haven't. But Father, it is getting dark. And we are taking all the evil that you've called evil and say it's not that bad. God, help us. Sometimes we're confused. We don't even know what's right or wrong. We don't know how bad it is. But Father, when we study your word, your laws, your commandments, it's bad. Help us. Forgive us. And Father, may we be light in a dark world because the world is always looking for light. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.